Well, amen. And again, what a blessing that was. I was thinking, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And what a incredible message and song this morning. We're thankful for the truth of that. The truth of the fact that we do serve a risen Savior. Isn't that a blessing this morning? And again, we're grateful that you're here today. If you have a Bible, if you'll take it and turn to the book of 2 John this morning. 2 John. And I was praying this week, and the Lord brought me to this passage. And once you have found your place, or if you found your place and you're able to, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We're going to read the first six verses through this book, 2 John, just one chapter. The Apostle John would write this book, and he writes in verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "Walking in Truth." Walking in truth. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, as we come before you today, we're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be here. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we set aside this time to look in your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to communicate that which you have laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd give me liberty in this pulpit this morning to be able to get across the thoughts that I believe that you would have me to relay. Lord, I pray for those that are gathered here this morning. I pray that you would just be with them and help them, Lord. We know that Satan would love to distract us from the message and what we need to receive today. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, as your Spirit works in our hearts, that you would impart biblical truth to us. Well, we love you and we're grateful for this day that you've given to us. And I pray that you'd help me now. I love you and I thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. John would address this letter to the elect lady and her children. There's different thoughts about who this was written to. I tend to believe that it was written to a local congregation. And yet he writes this letter with the emphasis on Christians knowing what is truth and then walking in it. And I might just say this morning that if you were to take a central theme from this passage, it would be this, that Christians must know truth and then must walk in truth. Can I tell you this morning, we're aware today, possibly now more than ever, of an all-out assault on biblical truth in the world in which we live. I'm amazed sometimes. I shouldn't be amazed, but amazed at sometimes what this world passes as truth these days. I was doing a little study this week, and I found in a 2017 Gallup poll that it's now believed that only 24% of Americans believe that the Bible is the literal Word of God. That number is an astounding number to me. That only 1 in 4, or less than 1 in 4, really, Americans would look at the Word of God and say, yes, it is the literal words of God that have been given to us. They said, beyond that, it's a much higher group of people that believe it's a book of fables, of legends, of history, of moral precepts. In other words, can I tell you that many would believe, yes, it's a good book, but it's not the literal words of God. Can I tell you, this poll reminds us this morning that we're living in an age where biblical truth is no longer widely believed and accepted. I mean, you know what I'm saying this morning. If you're paying attention at all, if you're looking around, you would realize that the things that we preach from this Word of God especially in our society today, are no longer widely believed and accepted. Verse 7 reveals why that's the case. He says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh." He says, you're going to have to understand something. In the New Testament church age, there will be many deceivers that will come into this world. The Bible says their message is this: they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They would say this: there is a God, but his son never came to this earth. What we see in the scriptures are just fables, these stories that we see here. Can I tell you this morning, verse 7 defines the spirit of the age. It's a spirit of Antichrist. Those that would deny the very existence in Christ, and we find that it's a spirit of Antichrist fueled by the great deceiver, the devil. I want to remind you this morning that the devil is a deceiver. He lives to deceive us, to try to plant thoughts and seeds of doubt in our life, and he's worked through mankind to deny the existence of Christ. Can I remind you this morning that the central theme of the Word of God is Christ? Amen. He's all over the pages of Scripture, and yet the devil is all out. He's trying to do all that he can to deny the existence of Christ. I love the three-point outline that Pastor has given to us several times of the Scriptures, because we see Jesus Christ throughout the pages of Scripture. In the Old Testament, the story is this: Jesus is coming. What a wonderful thought of 4,000 years of human history. They would look forward to the fact that a Messiah was going to come. A Savior. One who would save them from their sins. One that would redeem them. And then we come to the Gospels and we find this: Jesus is here. What an incredible thought. Jesus, the Son of God, would come and live amongst men. And I love this. He didn't come to heal mankind of his physical disease. Came to heal mankind of a spiritual disease. A disease that all of us have. And so the Gospels is this: Jesus is here. And then the rest of the New Testament, I love this: prepare. Prepare, because Jesus is coming again. Throughout the Scriptures, we find the central theme of the Scripture is this: Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's everywhere in the Scriptures. And yet we find, what's the spirit of the age? Those that would deny that Jesus Christ ever lived here on this earth. Can I tell you this morning, if the devil can cause people to deny Christ, he can attack biblical truth. Because the Scriptures are all about Jesus. You see why he works so hard to deny the existence of Christ? Because if he can deny that there is a Christ, he can deny the credibility of God's Word. In fact, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, just a page over there in your Scripture, John would write this: "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come." Grew up hearing of the Antichrist. I grew up also hearing people's thoughts of who the Antichrist was. It always changed throughout time. Well, I think this person is the Antichrist. We understand that there's an Antichrist coming. But notice what he says in verse 18. He says, "Even now are there many antichrists." So as you look around, there is one antichrist coming. But listen, can I tell you, the spirit of the age is this idea of many antichrists. And he says, "Whereby we know that it is the last time." Can I tell you, as I look around our world today, sometimes I'm amazed, and sometimes it's that idea of just being mind blown, right? You look at what people are saying, you look at people are doing, you look in society and you say, what in the world is going on? And yet, can I tell you, it's a reminder of this, that the closer we get to Christ's return, the more and more the spirit of the age of Antichrist, the more Antichrists are going to come. And so we live today in an age of Antichrist, Christ deniers. But I might say this. Notice this, that the spirit of the age has never and will never dictate that which is truth. We must understand this morning, it does not matter what someone out there says is truth. Can I tell you, if we left here today, and we went to your neighborhood or my neighborhood, or maybe we went to Walmart if we dare, and we were to walk around and talk to people and say, what do you think is truth? Can I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what they think is truth. It really doesn't matter what you and I think is truth. Can I tell you this morning, what is truth is what has been presented to us in God's Word. And what I want you to understand this morning, what John is trying to get across, and I just have 2 points, and I won't be long this morning, but I want you to see, first of all, that God has established truth. Truth this morning begins and it ends with God. We find here in verse 1, the Bible says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Can I tell you this morning, because of God's word, the Bible, it is possible to know truth. He says, all they that have known truth. Listen, can I tell you, as we live this life, we can know what is true. It's possible to know truth. We live in a society this morning where many have created their own truth. They've said this, well, I know what God's word says, but I don't want to think that way. So therefore, I'm going to deny the truth that's in God's word, and I'm going to make up my own truth. I want to remind you this morning that truth is bigger than any one of us. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. We live in a society, in a world today, in which they say, well, we understand what biblical morality is, but I don't want that as a part of my life. So what have they done? They've begun to discredit the Bible. They call it a book of hate speech because God defines marriage between one man and one woman. They say, that doesn't fit what we look to, and therefore I don't want to look at that. I want to make my own version of the truth. And again, I remind you that truth is bigger than your thoughts or my thoughts. It's what God has given to us. And so we find that we can know the truth. I want you to turn over to John in chapter 17. I want you to keep your place there in 2 John because we'll be back in just a moment. But I want to look at the book of John, also written by the apostle John. And the Bible says in John in chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. And then I love this. He says this, thy word is truth. I want to remind you this morning that God's word establishes truth. What we've received from God's word is that which is true. Can I tell you, if it goes against this book, it's not true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. By the way, I'd also remind you in 2 John in verse 2, he says this, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Can I tell you, truth is eternal? It's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It says, look around you. Everything has an expiration date, but not my words. It's eternal truth. Can I tell you this morning that man's wisdom often has an expiration date, doesn't it? Have we not realized that in the last 2 years? I mean, the amount of backpedaling and changing over COVID and this works and that works and we don't know. And listen, I'll just tell you this. I would never want to be in the position of the decision makers at the highest level because they really were in a no-win position. And whether you agree with them or not, who knows what decisions we would have made. But I'm just simply saying this morning, it's a great reminder that man's truth or man's wisdom has an expiration date. I was reminded that we used to practice something in this country called bloodletting. It went back to the 3rd or 4th century, but there were doctors that believed that in mankind, if they dealt with a virus or something like that or an infection, that it was in the blood. And so they said this, if we can remove the blood from a person, we can take away the infection. So they began in medical treatments to cut arteries and allow people to begin to bleed out. They would take leeches at time and put them on the skin, and they would allow those leeches to take the blood. And you're saying, what are you talking about? This is Sunday morning. I don't want to hear about this today. I get it, but it's a reminder of this, that we found out after a time that that was killing many people. Can I tell you, God's word? In the Levitical law, God had established truth centuries prior to that. And the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 that God established through Moses the truth that the life of the body is in the blood. Can I tell you this morning? We have an expiration date from our wisdom, and sometimes we look at this and we say, well, I think this may be the best course of action, or I think this may be true. And I'll just tell you this, time will tell, but God's word, God's truth is eternal. It's not going anywhere. We find that God's word establishes truth. Can I tell you that we also find that Jesus is truth personified? Look at John chapter 14 and verse 6. I love this thought. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He saith unto them, he's speaking specifically to Thomas. He says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I tell you, as God's word establishes truth, then God sent Jesus to this world to be truth personified. Jesus said, I am truth. The words that I speak are truth. God established an example of truth through Jesus. I'm also reminded this morning that in our society today, many are okay with God, but they're offended by the name of Jesus. It's the spirit of the age that we live in. I was reading this week of a city in California who would open up their city council meetings in prayer. They had a law on the books that they could do that. And the ACLU came and sued them. They were not suing them because they opened in prayer. They said, we're good if you open in prayer. You can have an imam come. You can have a rabbi come. You can even have a Christian pastor come. And they're able to pray in God's name. But here's what they sued for. They said, you're not able to pray in Jesus' name. And they did. That city council, they would have all of those groups represented. They would have an imam come. They would have a rabbi come. But they draw the line. The ACLU said, you cannot have a Christian pastor pray in Christ's name. Why? Because Jesus is truth personified. And as we understand the world in which we live in, can I tell you, the devil is all out an attack on biblical truth and the truth that Jesus Christ ever existed. Again, the devil will say, you can deny Jesus, and we're okay with you looking to God, but denying Jesus. So we find that God's word establishes truth. Jesus is truth personified. And then I love this in John chapter 14 and verse 16. When we are saved, when we receive Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we receive the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. The Bible says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. What an incredible promise this morning. God has established truth through his word. God allowed Jesus Christ to come here to this earth to be truth personified. And then he says this, when you get saved, you receive the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into truth. Did you notice what the Bible says there in verse 17? The Bible says, whom the world cannot receive. By the way, it should be no surprise to us this morning as we look around and we see that the world is denying the Spirit living inside of them. And yet as Christians, as we yield to him, can I tell you, he helps us to discern truth in this life. He begins to work in our heart, and he begins to help us to realize what is truth, what is the truth of God's word. We're able to take it, the Bible, to understand it, and apply it to our lives. And so the Bible, which is truth, establishes truth. And then we find in verse 3, he says, back in 2 John, in verse 3, he says this, grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. The next thing he wants us to understand, not only did God establish truth, but God and Jesus are connected in truth. Now, I love this thought. He says grace and mercy and peace are available to us through God the Father and God the Son. Listen, understand this morning, if you're saved today, is it not God's grace and mercy that brought you to a place of salvation? I was thinking just this week as I was studying where any of us would be without God's grace and mercy in our life to bring us to a place of salvation. I tell you, that'll get you excited on a bad day. Begin to think about God's grace and his mercy in my life that brings me to a place of salvation. But he also says this, not only grace be with you and mercy, but he says this, and peace. I was reading in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Let me read it to you very quickly this morning. You might mark it down and look it up later, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, listen, grace and mercy is available from God. When you get saved, you have the peace of God through Jesus Christ. He says these work together in establishing biblical truth in our lives. Can I tell you, it's no wonder, as God and Jesus work together to establish truth, it's no wonder this morning why the world is an all-out assault on biblical truth. Why the world seeks so hard to deny the existence of Jesus Christ this morning. Can I tell you, it's through Jesus and through God that we receive the grace and the mercy of peace. And then I'd say this, because God has established truth and has made it known to all the world, all are accountable for truth. I want you to think about that this morning. Every one of us are accountable for the truth. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that one of these days every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. The Bible says there's coming a day that every person in this world, every person who ever worked to deny the existence of Christ, will instinctively fall upon their knees when they stand before him and they will confess that he is Christ. All are accountable for truth. I remember back in high school, some of the worst words you could ever hear were this: put away your book, we're having a pop quiz. Why? Because I was accountable for what I had just heard. Can I tell you, I was not that great of a student. I may look smart, but I'm really not that smart. That's probably a stretch, actually, this morning. I probably don't even look smart. But the idea there is, I like to daydream. I hope my kids aren't listening this morning. I like to daydream in class. If I had time to prepare for a test, I was good. I'd just get the notes or borrow the notes from somebody else and study the notes. I'd be fine. But if there was a pop quiz, it was over for me. Can I tell you this morning that whether I had paid attention in class or not, I was still accountable? And this morning, we understand what God has presented for us in his word. Even those that we have denied God's word, those that have denied biblical truth, there's coming a day when they'll be accountable for what's here in the word of God. God says, I presented to you scripture. Can I tell you that no one will stand before God that day with an excuse? They won't say, well, I was living in the century of the 2000s, and I was living in an era in which people really didn't look to the Word of God anymore. I was living in a spirit of Antichrist, and therefore, can you just let me pass? No, can I tell you? Every man and woman will give an account for what is recorded in the Scripture one of these days. The Bible says they'll instinctively, again, fall on their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can I tell you? If that's when we wait to confess that he is Lord, if you wait till that day, it'll be too late for you. The Bible says you'll spend eternity in devil's hell. Can I tell you, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. God has presented to us biblical truth in the Word of God. He has given it to us. He's established it. He's given us the example of Jesus Christ to understand that there is truth. And we must all come to a place where we accept the truth of God's Word. Listen, today is the day of salvation. you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't leave here this morning without getting that settled. Please come forward at the invitation and allow someone to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. You may be sitting there and saying, well, how do I know it's true? Can I tell you, God has established the truth in His Word. John wanted the church to know that God has established truth. Yes, there will be detractors. There will be people that will come along and say, oh, that's not true. And yet I remind you what the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. We find, first of all, that God has established truth, and secondly, and very quickly, Christians are to walk in truth. We know what God has established, and now we're to walk in truth. Look at verse 4. He says there in 2 John, verse 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. John, no doubt, was given some oversight, possibly a pastor of this church, and he begins to write to them, and he begins to say this, listen, what a great joy it is to watch these children walking in the truth. Why? Because the commandment of the Father was that they would walk in the truth. Can I tell you, they were obedient to the command of the Father, and it was a great blessing for John to see this. This morning, as God has established truth, one of the jobs of the pastor is this, to preach the truth. In fact, in Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul told the leaders at the church of Ephesus to feed the flock of God. You know what they were to feed the flock of God? Biblical truth. Can I tell you this morning, I'm so grateful that I have the Word of God to be able to open up and share with you. I'm so glad that I don't have to rely on my wisdom and my experience. Think back to previous comment about me not being real smart. The sermon might only last, well, it probably wouldn't even get off the ground if it was up to me to give you my wisdom. But I'm just telling you this morning, listen, the responsibility of the pastor is this, to feed the flock of God biblical truth. Listen, it's not our job to get up and give our own philosophy or this thought or that thought. No. Or to point you to the Word of God. And then John would say this in 3 John in verse 4, just a page over. He says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He says this, there's no greater joy than this to be able to communicate biblical truth and then to watch somebody receive that truth and to take it in and first of all be saved. And then allow that biblical truth to begin to transform their life and to begin to change their life. And before long, you know what they're doing? They're walking in truth. Can I tell you, for a pastor, for a preacher of the Word of God, for maybe even someone that teaches a Sunday school class, when you see them get it and you see them begin to apply it and begin to walk in it, that's a great joy. Because you understand how the truth changed you. And so he says there's no greater joy than to see these church members receive the Word of God, apply the Word of God, and then walk in truth. And John says, when I look at the church, I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful this morning for a church, for a pastor who preaches biblical truth, who week in and week out opens up the Word of God and preaches to us powerfully the Word of God. And I'm grateful for a congregation that walks in truth. What a blessing it is to be able to understand what the truth of God's Word is. But I want you to see verse 5. Because John says this, I'm grateful that you have walked in truth, but he says this, and now, presently, today, I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you've heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. I love this idea because John comes with an appeal. He says, listen, you've walked in truth in the past, and that's great. But now, today, I beseech you, continue to walk in truth. Continue to do what God has called you to do. Listen, John would come to them and he'd say, "This, there's no new truth. Sometimes in the spirit of the age, we want to hear something new, something fresh. And John says this, listen, there's no new truth. But would you just continue to walk in the things that we've had from the beginning of time? The Word of God, the established biblical truth. Warren Wiersbe said this, I love this, the believer's life is controlled by a love for the truth and a desire to magnify the truth. Can I tell you, when we come into church on Sunday, we ought to have a love for the truth. Lord, please speak to my heart. Give me biblical truths that I need that will help me to live this life. And it ought to be our desire to receive truth and then magnify the truth. Can I tell you, knowing the spirit of the age, that many deceivers are come in, as individual believers, we must commit to walking in truth. In other words, what can I say? It doesn't matter what we did yesterday. I mean, I'm grateful for the fact that we've walked in truth. But John says this, listen, continue to walk in truth. As the spirit of the age might get further and further away from the things of God, and we might look around us and we might see this person deny biblical truth and this person deny biblical truth, and we might even come to a place and say, what is truth? John says there's no new truth, just continue to walk in the truth that you've known from the beginning of time. Not only that, he says this, truth from the Word of God is defined by this, loving God and loving other people. He says it's not a new commandment. It's the same commandment that you've heard over and over again. And listen, I might just remind you this morning that this message that I'm preaching to you today really isn't something new. You say, what's my responsibility as a Christian? Well, it's to follow the commands of the Scripture, the commandments from the beginning of time, which can really be defined as this, loving God and loving other people. By the way, we find here in this passage how we love God. Look at what he says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. He says, for this is the love of God. This is how we define our love for God, that we keep his commandments. And then he says this, and his commandments are not grievous. Can I tell you, some would look at the Christian life and they'd say, what a grievous thing it is to have to follow the Word of God. I want to live how I want to live. And by the way, many deceivers have come in and they've spoiled people's minds and they said, you don't want what the Word of God has. It's grievous. And can I tell you, the exact opposite is true. When we're walking in the truth and we're walking with God, here's what we find. We find God's grace. We find God's mercy. We find God's peace. In the joy to live the Christian life. That's what he says. He says, listen, if you're going to love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And here's the reminder, my commandments are not grievous. They're the path to receive God's mercy and God's grace and God's peace and God's joy in your life. In other words, you can live the way you desire, but if you live after my commandments, you'll receive these things. He says, church, continue walking in truth. We find here this morning that we're to love God by keeping his commandments, and then we're to love others. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. He says this here, no man hath seen God at any time. He says, listen, none of you have spent time with God in the physical sense. But watch this, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. He says, listen, you're not going to see an outward manifestation of God. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could look to God and we could see him in a physical manifestation? But he says this, no, if you'll love others, God will be seen in your life. And his love will be perfected in your life. Can I tell you, as I think about this, as this world grows further and further away from God, the church and Christians need each other more and more. You need the love of the brothers and sisters in Christ that are here in this room. We live difficult lives, don't we? We're out in the world throughout the week. There's something special about coming to this place on Sunday. The encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, can I tell you, there's never been a time where Christians should be less committed to the church. As time goes on, we should be more committed to the church, to the truths that are taught therein, to the truth of the Word of God through the commands of God that I'm to love God and then to love other people. In a day and age when which many are trying to reinvent the church, trying to reinvent the truth, trying to establish new doctrines and new truths, John reminds us here in this passage, listen, nothing has changed since the beginning, so therefore just walk in what you know is truth. He says you're going to live in a society in which people are going to deny the existence of God. They're going to deny the existence of biblical truth. So the question is this morning, what happens when skepticism is more popular than truth? What happens when only 1 in 4 Americans believe that we have a literal word of God? What should the church do then? What should you and I as Christians do? And I might just point you to the end of verse 6. He says, this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Just continue in biblical truth. Well, what happens when evil runs rampant? What happens when I look in society and I see this happening over there, and I see evil celebrated over here and in this arena and in politics and in these places? What happens when evil becomes the prevailing thought of the day? The church is just to continue to walk in truth. Pastors are to preach biblical truth. And the congregation is to receive and apply and allow biblical truth to change your life. By the way, we have this promise in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, ye are of God, little children. I love that thought. We're little children of God and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The spirit of the age is an age of Antichrist. Christ deniers. And he says, listen, you may be in the minority, but guess what? You're on the winning side. You have Christ. You have the power of God on your side. It may be like there's only 1 in 4 Americans that believe in the word of God, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist that's around us. So what's the key to Christianity in 2022? What's the key? How do we move forward? How do we overcome Satan and evil? Can I tell you, many are angling for some new truth today? Some new fad, some new style, some new Bible. They've wanted to change the words that are recorded in God's word to maybe make it a little bit easier to understand, or maybe to make it a little bit more palatable and remove some of these things that we don't think people want to hear. What's the answer? Can I tell you? Just to continue to walk in truth. Let me ask you this question. Are you overwhelmed today? You may look around in society and say, well, what about this? Is there not a reminder that in the end times, this is how things would be? When we look around, can I tell you, if we're not careful, we can just begin to fret and worry over the things that we see. I'm looking at, well, what if this law gets enacted over here? I mean, we have people in the state house that are looking at things, and they're updating the churches, and they're saying, you can pray about this. And we're looking over here and we're saying, well, what if this law gets passed? Or what if this person gets put in charge? Or what if the world goes to war with one another? And we fret over these things. And the truth is, we should just, as a church, just continue to walk in truth. There's some that are fearful this morning. You say, I don't know, I look around and I watch the news. Listen, can we just turn off the news? Is there anything of benefit on the news? And yet there might be some this morning that say, I'm fearful. And you say, what should I do? And John says this, knowing the spirit of the age, just continue to walk in truth. Be convinced of the truth of the word of God, and then walk in truth. Listen, can I tell you this morning? Don't allow the world to change the truth in your heart. The devil will come along. He'll say you're in the minority. Don't allow the devil, don't allow the world to change the truth in your heart. We find here this morning that God's people are to commit to knowing truth and then to walk in it. And this morning, it may just be a time for us as Christians just to recommit to what we know is the truth and to walk in it moving forward. John says, I'm thankful. Thankful for how you have walked in truth, but it's not time to stop. This world's going to get worse. It's going to be harder to walk in biblical truth. But just make the commitment to continue to walk in truth. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know how God may have used this message in your heart and your life. But listen, may we as Christians be convinced today more than ever that there is a truth that's been established by God, and we need to walk in truth. Maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I encourage you, don't leave this place You will be held accountable one of these days for the truths that are written in God's word. Don't leave without getting that settled. Maybe there are some Christians that just this morning say, Brother Andy, I just need to come and commit to truth. I've been confused. There's things going on in our world today. I've been fearful, overwhelmed. And yet the idea there is just continue to walk in truth. Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us to do business with you this morning as you've spoken to our heart. Help us to make the decision. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they'd please come and receive you today before they leave. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.